All right, here we go. Strong Calm Podcast. Welcome, welcome back. My name is Aaron Dunn. This is Strong Calm, C-O-M. That's the root word that means together or in common. And I use that word as a springboard to talk about, to have conversations about communication online and off, how that impacts us as individuals or the people that you communicate with, community building, the people that you're around, and how when we get those two things right, the communication and the community, how those two things build stronger company, whether that's the company that you're building, like a business, or the company that you keep. And I am excited to have a really great guest on the show today, somebody who definitely has a mastery of all three of those things in just different respects. And regardless of what you do in life, whatever you do in business, you might be a salesperson, you might mow lawns, you might do, you might be an artist or what have you, but this person's going to be somebody that you can learn from for sure, because he's a stand-up dude, he's consistent, and he has done great things for the community as long as I've been able to tell. And so that guy is DJ Juice. What's going on, man?
Man, thank you. Man, I appreciate that introduction. Appreciate that.
Yeah, part of the gig, you know what it is.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that, though. It feels different because normally I'm in your shoes, so.
Right. So I gave you a bit of an intro, but introduce yourself. I always like to give the opportunity.
I'm DJ Juice, currently 1027, 1069 The Blaze, night show host, also founder of Juice for Kids, which stands for Join Us in Creating Excellence for Kids, nonprofit. Owner of Chakras Media Vault, brand new studio, media center in Tyler. I mean, I don't know, man. I do so much.
That's good. Yeah, that's just the surface, and it goes much deeper than that, as we know, and we'll probably find out. So, of course, we're going to talk about the three C's: communication, community building, company, and I'll just tie us into those conversations as they progress. But what I wanted to kind of kick this off with, Juice, is a little bit about, like, it's 2022. You like hip hop music. I like hip hop music. So I figured it would be kind of fun just to hear from you. Like, what are some standout albums that have come out? Maybe singles that have come out. Like, what is something that, what's some music that has got you like excited or like, man, I'm glad that, you're spinning it a lot.
Man, believe it or not, I just discovered a new artist. Her name is Laya, L-A-Y. She's from New York. She's into like 90s, she's 90s R&B all the way, but it's with a twist of now. And I mean, for the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I've been like nonstop. She has a song called Crazy Down. I mean, I've been nonstop.
Yeah.
And I'm really a big R&B head. I'm R&B and I'm old school. So that was refreshing to hear a sound of now mixed with the blend of the 90s.
So, absolutely. Yeah. Because would you say R&B, a golden age for R&B would be the 90s?
Oh, definitely. I mean, because, it started from the blues and all of that, but 90s, I mean, you can't, from the New Jack Swing to the Mary J. Blige to, all the boy bands, like, you can't get any better than 90s hip hop and 90s R&B.
Yeah.
Untouchable.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not a big R&B person personally. It's just not ever been my thing that I just jam. That's what I hear a lot is like people who like R&B, like my wife likes R&B, but who is like the modern R&B artist these days? It's kind of hard. Like it's kind of like R&B kind of got locked in that 90s, kind of early 2000s era, and then kind of went away. Would you agree or not?
Well, it's weird because now when you think about somebody who, like Chris Brown.
Yeah.
That's pretty much my age.
Right.
So to me, he'd be, oh yeah, that's R&B. But to a person who is 18, he's old school.
For sure.
They're like, he's still making music, but he's old.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just one of those, I don't know. It's a strange, it's a strange mix-up. So now you have like the Jacquees, but it's so, the R&B is not the same R&B. You know, it's way more explicit. So it's not the same R&B as it was back in the day when you talk about your 80s and then your 90s, good loving R&B. Now it's a little bit more like just kind of right at you.
Yeah, yeah. And you think that's why it's kind of not as in popular culture as it once was? Because like as it got more modern and got more explicit and stuff, it just kind of, because like R&B, a lot of times it is about that, the subtlety. It's about the, you know, it's the warm up. It's not the in the game. You know what I mean?
Well, like when you want to really break it down, then you could say when it became pop, between pop, R&B, and rap, it's like the industry kind of blurred the line so much within those three genres.
Yeah.
Because rap was always, you know, became the number one selling genre. So now in order to pull R&B up or to pull pop up, they started doing those remixes. So,
right.
You know, if you look at it from that angle or that aspect of it, it's kind of where it kind of got blurred at, because rap took off. So they're like, wait, well, if we put this rapper on this song, you know, think about it. Like when you think about old soul, you think about Motown, you think about OJs, you didn't really hear a feature.
No. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was, you know, it was an OJs featuring Rick James, you know, that wasn't happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Features. That is a good point though, because, you know, as hip hop became the most popular genre and is, it influences everything, even rock music. And like, and now like you think about like a Drake who started incorporating more R&B vibe and making that super mainstream into hip hop music. Like it, everything just started to become everything in some ways. So it's a little bit more difficult to parse out, but also, most artists now, like it's kind of rare that an artist is just purely one thing. Like, especially like when a younger artist, they come up and, you know, they get they get signed or something like that. And then their first major album comes out. Like I've always noticed how newer artists, when they get that first major album or, you know, the one that's got backing, all of a sudden the rapper is singing. Like he never sang before. Oh, and then all of a sudden he's there.
This is the era of the singing rappers. I don't think now, I think you have, in order to rap, you have to be able to sing.
Absolutely.
It's just one of those things. You have to be able to merge your voice with auto-tune, and you have to. If you can't, like, nobody wants to, I don't know. That is strange, though, now that you say it. It's like, no, but can you sing?
Exactly. They're going to try. I mean, yeah. I think maybe Kanye gave some room for people, because when he started singing at first, definitely he didn't even sound that great, but he sang. And it's just because he wanted to.
But think about Nicki Minaj also. I didn't, you know, when she started those singing records, I was like, oh man, she's going pop.
Mm-hmm.
But those were her biggest records that took her off. So,
yeah. Know. Yeah, very true. Anybody else outside of Leia that you like? Or, I mean, I have to ask you, man. Pusha T just dropped. What do you think about that? What do you think about some of these bigger albums that have come out?
I mean, the Pusha T album, of course, classic, but I'm kind of over the beef music. So I don't know. I guess his interview turned me off. He, in one of his interviews, they were talking about the beef, and he was like, oh yeah, I'm still beefing. I don't care what Drake has done about. And I'm like, you just sound like you don't have anything else to rap about. You sound like you just want to be, you know, you want to be cool now. Like, dude, you are a lyricist. Just put out an album. People going to jam you because you can rap. You don't have to rap about this person, but I guess that content creates more exposure per se.
Yeah, that is true. People love the drama, man. People love the drama.
But I was a fan of Kanye's album. I was a big fan of that. I wasn't really, Drake's album, I wasn't really a fan of that one. It was cool. I mean, Drake's going to be Drake regardless. But I don't see myself just riding down the street listening to Drake.
Yeah, me either. Are you talking about his most, like, from last year?
Yeah, yeah, the stuff from last year. But yeah. I mean, really, this year, the big Joshua push, Coilerae, disappointment.
Yeah.
But I can't even say, I'm sorry. I can't say disappointment. I don't know what I really expected from her. So, I can't, you know, like, I feel like my artist, Smitty Hawkins, who's from Longview, I feel like this summer is going to be her year, and that's going to be definitely one of the people who are a lot of people are going to be talking about.
Smitty Hawkins. Okay.
Yeah. Smitty Hawkins.
All right. Going to have to look that up.
Yeah, definitely got to check her out. She's from Longview, Lone Star to be exact. And man, really dope artist, can sing, because you know, you got to be able to sing, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, she can sing, rap, bars, the whole nine, man. So she's a package deal. So it's pretty good.
That's awesome. I want to dive a little bit deeper into that, but I'm going to save it for right now. I will say, let's see, that new Dreamville is pretty good. I was listening.
That was slept on, but it was. But Dreamville, I mean, they drop out of the blue, and it's they always have good music, but it's just not one of those top of mind.
Right.
It's just kind of like I was listening to it, you know, because I seen it on Apple Music, but then once it faded, I'm not going to act like I was just going back.
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple of standouts, but yeah, I agree. Well, cool, man. I just wanted to get your read on some of that. But to get into the three C's of the podcast, kind of frame up the conversation a little bit more. When it comes to communication, that's what talk about every episode. When it comes to communication, I wanted to ask you, because in your zone of genius as a DJ, you know, you've been DJing for how long?
Man, I mean, I don't know, 14 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A good amount of time.
12. So yeah, 14. It's long.
Yeah. So that's a lot of time. I mean, hours and hours and hours of records. You know, you couldn't count how many parties you've been to.
Man, I can't count parties, weddings,
right?
Everything, cookouts, just the number of school dances, elementary school, middle school, high school, college party. I just did a TJC party last night. I mean, yeah, it's just going.
Let me start from here then. What is DJ Juice's prime environment? Where do you want to what's the environment that you like to be? I'm going to guess that like a kid's birthday party is not it. But maybe it is. Like, is what's the one where you're like, I'm in my element?
Happy people. And I know that sounds very vague, but DJing around a bunch of people who don't want to be there or who are not having a good time, let me tell you, I DJ for a school, not going to say the school name, but I'm supposed to do karaoke, and this is supposed to be for the teachers. And I came, I'm just giddy. You know, I'm like, yeah, this is going to be great. They're going to do these Christmas songs. This is going to be great. Play the music, and everybody just kind of looking like, why is he here? So I'm like, oh, and I'm still like, eh. So then I go around, I'm like, hey, so we're doing karaoke. Would you like to sign up? And they're like, no. No. So oh, I'm like, man. What the hell? Like, why do y'all have a karaoke DJ? But nobody wants to do karaoke. So finally, some people get up. And man, it was just like no energy. Everybody just acted like they hated to be there. So turns out they got some little checks or whatever. And when they got the checks, everybody was great. But before that, it was like.
Yeah. Well, I imagine. I mean, my next question was going to be, where's there drinking at this event? Because like karaoke, I would think like it, there you gotta.
But it was very reserved, very, very, you know, glass and a half of wine. You know, it wasn't, yeah. You know, the beers weren't being chugged back. If the beers would have came out, I'm pretty sure that would have changed. But no, but back on it, like, my element is just around happy people, man. I love doing kid events because kids are just naturally happy. Adults have so much baggage and things from the day. I ain't gonna lie, sometimes going to an elementary school and helping out a kid does more for me than anything else I can do during the week, because these people genuinely care, and they don't have a word. They don't have a judgment. They don't have anything. These are just humans who are just full of love, and they just like, hey, look. They embrace the moment, they have a great time, and then they go on about their business. Adults, sometimes it's not always that easy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because adults are going to go, man, play this song, or hey, man, da-da-da. Like all that, you know, they start to do your job.
People feel like the admission to get in a club or get to a party is like request money or something. I think they have those like, they think that's request money. They think that, okay, I paid my $10, so I have 10 songs that I want to hear right now. And it's like, no, just got you the door. Calm down. Calm down, go have a drink. Go smile. Go have a conversation with somebody.
Yeah.
Like, it's always that one person who's standing at the DJ, like,
right.
And the
right.
DJ can do nothing right. It's just, we don't like this song.
So how do you connect with an audience? I mean, of course, around Tyler in East Texas, people know you. You know, they're familiar with you. Okay.
I am very verbal. I was told by a DJ when I first moved out here, he was like, man, Juice, how much are you charging? And I told him, he was like, for all that you do? And I'm like, what you mean? He's like, man, you're talking, you're dancing. He's like, oh, I charge triple that. And then that kind of stuck with me like, So my natural personality, when I'm at these parties, I do want to learn these dances because I don't know half the dances. I don't really dance until I get to these parties. So people are like, oh, Juice always dancing. No, I dance at the party because I'm learning it right then. So I'm very like out there. I'm talking to people. I'm easy. I always try to break the ice. Whether it's a joke, whatever it is, do something to break the ice, to make people kind of giggle, laugh. Because at the end of the day, man, people want to have a good time. So I have to try to figure out, like, okay, everybody in here, before they got here, was going through something, no matter what it was. It could be from dealing with death to a girlfriend to laying off work. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody in here has a story. And sometimes your job, well, my job is with music to heal that a little bit, to play music and deal, and basically music pulls emotion. So mm-hmm. as a DJ, I know how to basically take you on a roller coaster. So by the time you leave, you say, man, I had a good time. I'm ready to go home and go to sleep, or whatever it is you do when you get home after.
So yeah, I like that. I think the times where you know, I've been at an event or a party or something, and the DJ has like made the most impact for me has been when I don't even notice that they're there until like, I'm like, man, this is another, where is he? And then it's like, yeah. Or she or whatever. And then it's all of a sudden, it's like, man, there they are. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of times the DJ is this invisible, you know, it's the invisible kind of feeling that you get. And so you're only going to notice if something's really great or something's really not great, you know?
Right.
You know, and like, do you think that there's a pretty small margin of error for a DJ though? Like given that, like, it's almost like you could be winning the crowd for, you know, 20, 30, 45 minutes and then something.
Man, look, you're change. Playing music as a DJ, one song, 30 seconds of one song can clear your whole dance floor. Just 30. It doesn't have to be long. You can be mixing it a song in so you can bring in another song.
Mm-hmm.
But in 30 seconds, this whole floor could be cleared. Like, I remember there was a time where an artist got really aggressive with me. He's like, man, you play my song because I'm the hottest person. And it was like, maybe 10 o'clock, 10:30 at the club. So it was early. And he just kept on yakking, yakking, yakking. And I was like, you know what? Okay, man, give me your CD. Put the CD in. I'm playing some music. Some girls are dancing on the floor or whatever with their drinks. Stop the music. I said, hey, y'all, this is his song. And I pushed play. And I left. And I went to the bar and got me a drink. The girls who were on the dance floor met me at the bar and said, why are you playing this? I said, it's his song. They like, we don't care. And I was like, I'm getting a drink. Well, you need to hurry up and get back up there and DJ, because we don't want to hear this.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they have a point.
So then the guy, when I get back up there, he said, oh, you trying to show off. You trying to be funny. I was like, no, you asked for your song to be played. I did exactly what you asked. Now I want to tell you the correct way and just how to have a conversation with someone besides coming up demanding something. Because the entitlement, that'll be the death of a person. Like, it's a certain way to come to a person, certain camaraderie that you just have as a man when you're talking to someone. Like, you come a certain way, and that aggressiveness, that's not going to get you anywhere. It's only going to get your attitude back. And two people with attitudes aren't good. And I'm trying to be in a happy vibe, trying to control my peace, all my energy around me. I don't want anything to do with that. So, man, let's just kind of be better people, man. And sometimes you have to explain that. And guys, believe it or not, at first they're like, and then it's kind of like, man, you know you're right, man. What's up, man? How you doing, man? You want a drink?
Yeah. It's like, no, I already got one.
Yeah, like, no, I just want to
get one. Yeah, buy those girls a drink because I think you owe them something.
For real. And at that time, at that club, I think the drinks were like 75 cents. So you could have balled out with like $10.
Oh, there you go. One last thought on kind of the communication front. What is it like? Okay, so, you know, we have different artists come through all the time. You're interviewing new artists, but you're interviewing famous artists too. So I've seen some, you know, you've had, who are some artists that you've interviewed? I know you've got a long list.
I mean, I'm just saying, just in Tyler alone, I mean, you had Young Blue, you've had DaBabies came, OTB, Fastlane, Little Flip, Slim Thug. I mean, just so many. Normally, mm-hmm. when they're doing their road dates, I try to make sure if they're in between like Shreveport and Dallas, I'm trying to make sure, hey, look, we're in Tyler, so come on, swing on through. So I'm trying to make mm-hmm. sure we kind of connect those dots.
Yeah, so how does that communication flow happen? Like, how do you connect with somebody who everybody wants to connect with at all kinds of given time? You probably have to navigate teams and managers and stuff like that. So how does that communication flow work?
Well, believe it or not, man, like I try to tell artists, it's about putting together a plan or a rollout. And what a lot of these managers do, they set up a campaign for their artists, basically saying, okay, we're going to go here, 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 here. Since we're here, where else can we go to make an impact? So, okay, we're in Shreveport. We're going to go see DJ Jabba Jaws in Shreveport. All right, well, we need to go to Dallas too. Okay, well, Tyler's in between Dallas, so we need to stop in Tyler as well. And they kind of mm-hmm. navigate those, make a bunch of phone calls and try to coordinate dates and times, because sometimes, like, when the baby came, he came through at like 1 o'clock p.m. I don't work till 7. So, of course, there was a situation where we had to kind of stage stuff and kind of make it like, you know, it was nighttime, but it wasn't, but, you know, mm-hmm. still made it work.
Yeah.
Just a little, you know, adjustments.
Yeah. Yeah. When keyword you said earlier was rollout. And I like that, especially on the communication front. So like when you think like rollouts, there's rollouts for albums, there's rollouts for tour promotion, there's rollouts for whatever you got going on.
Everything.
Well, yeah. These days there's rollout for babies and breakups and all kinds of stuff.
Hey, a rollout is a gender reveal.
Yeah. 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 So what do you think about today's rollouts and like how would you advise an artist to kind of put together their own rollout? I think it's, of course, it's going to be unique to every artist. Not every artist can do it the same way, but like, you know, in a world where everybody's doing their own version of a rollout, and you're just trying to get attention, how can an artist kind of stand out and make their rollout make a difference?
First, the artist has to understand who they are first and foremost. Because I look at it as being a full circle. You have to know who you are, create music that tells who you are, create a visual that shows who you are, and then create content that explains who you are. Ooh. And this content should then take and have a personal connection with the people who you're trying to reel in. So if you can create a personal connection using your content, then you're going to forever have that person. So me, for instance, if I go to an elementary school, it's not good enough for me to just, hey, No, I have to make a TikTok, take a picture. I have to do something that's going to be meaningful to these kids. That's going to be meaningful to me as well, because I can use that as content, but these kids also have a connection with me. And long as that connection is built, when they get to middle school, hey, Juice, remember me? They get to high school, hey, Juice, remember me? They get to college, hey, Juice, remember me? And some people, I've DJed every facet of their life. Which makes me like old as hell, but I'm not really that old. But it's like 12 years, you know.
A lot of that's a lot will happen then.
Yeah, a lot will happen. So you're talking about somebody 8 to 18, easy. You know, that's every that's every facet. So when it comes to this rollout, understanding who you are and building this circle. Once you build this circle and you are able to create content that engages and creates a connection, a personal and emotional connection, then you take that and you say, okay, now I need to go speak, because you have to be seen. Podcasts, like your podcast, for instance, great podcast. There needs to be more people just reaching out, just, hey, I'm interested in telling my story, because that story, that's what it's all about. That's what people want.
You know what's funny? I mean, today I've been on my podcast game today, and I've I had a couple of interviews, you know, and I made a post about it today. Somebody said, hey, can my artist be on your podcast? What does it take? Somebody said that today. And just because you said that, I'm gonna go ahead and bring them on. I don't know anything about them, but I'm gonna bring them on, because like I appreciate that. Like somebody's actually on a hustle, and that's kind of what I mean, that's what it takes, and that's what this podcast is partially about. Or definitely about. Let me get my dog real quick.
Oh, you're good.
My dog, man, always causing problems. But man, that was a great breakdown, though. I mean, I hope whoever's listening and watching takes notes of that circle that you said, because anybody, and I already told you up front at the start of the show, that anybody could learn from this and take something and apply it. And the way that you broke down kind of that content flywheel of sorts can be applied to any kind of business or personal brand, that kind of thing. But also, one thing that I really liked about what you said and how you broke it down is, like, Juice, you're a networker and you understand the impact of it's like there's one way of saying, like, man, you got to create content or you'll never have a successful business or whatever. And then as an individual creator or business professional, you're like, okay, I got to create content. How can I craft a piece of content to make sure that people know what I do and all that kind of stuff, which isn't necessarily bad. But what I like about what you said and how you broke it down and also how you operate is that you're saying, I need to create a memory for the people that I'm about to go see. I'm going to document this not only for myself and, you know, how I could maybe leverage it in the future, but you're also understanding the impact of, okay, well, if I'm here now when they're 10 and then in 5 years, they're 15 and then, you know, they graduate, like, I could be a part of this person's life for a long time. And I think that especially for young people, one thing that I learned, you know, early on, and I think it comes from just being in a small town, and contextualize that however you want. Like, it doesn't matter if you're in Houston or if you're in Tyler Longview, or if you're in a town like I grew up of 2000 people, it really matters. The smaller crowd you have, how you treat people in that local community, because that's going to have ripple effects throughout the community. And so like if DJ Juice showed up at the kids thing and he wasn't, you know, he wasn't a nice guy, he didn't document, he didn't take pictures, he didn't care, then that's going to really impact the trust that the community has with you, because they're going to say, man, well, I mean, he's really great when he's at the club, but when he's with the kids, it's just not really there. So I just kind of wanted to highlight that, because it's so important for you to be the same person and actually genuinely care if you want to create a long-term impact.
Yeah. And definitely, I'll say this to add on. You said great at the club, but not great with the kids. I hope that I'm better with the kids than I am at the club, because the things that I am with the kids for, to me, are more meaningful than any club memory. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So just to add on to that about, because I believe that it's all about being genuine, and you have to be as genuine as possible with yourself, and then that is going to flow out to others, because you know your light shines or whatnot. So it's just so important to me to make sure that whenever you're doing something in the community, that you really like take in that, because the fun aspect of it is going to be that it's going to be fun. But I always look at, when I get 60 years old, guess who's going to be my doctor?
Man, you're smart.
That's, you know, funny. What I'm saying? Like,
yeah. So to talk about, to kind of close the book on communication a bit, and of course this is this all connects, so it'll all continue. But with community, talking about the kids, tell the audience and me, even, like, I don't exactly know what Juice for Kids is and exactly what you do. So break that down.
So Juice for Kids, like I said earlier, stands for Join Us in Creating Excellence for Kids. So I do National Reading Day, which is in January, and I go to different schools, and basically I turn a book into a play. I have kids read, we act out the book. We read a book named Clorinda that was about a cow that wanted to do ballet. I have a friend who does ballet. So she came and she did ballet. So all the kids were like, oh, you know, mesmerized, like, oh, it's really about ballerina, you know, that type of thing going on. So I try to, you know, paint those pictures or whatnot. I teamed up with Christian Trinity Mother Francis. We do football, basketball, soccer, all sports camps throughout the summer. Just a lot of different activities. I mean, with Juice for Kids, I try to not do what we call benchmark things. Benchmark things are like back to school, you know, holidays, stuff like that. So I try to pick dates that are in between those, because people need things, you know. We go to school in August, September, but November comes, the kid has no paper. No, they have nothing. They're just trying to thug it out for the last month until Christmas break. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to try to alleviate that side of it. And I'm big on fitness, so I'm starting a bike. I'm actually moving to North Tyler, so they have a bunch of bike lanes. So I'll be doing like a riding with Juice, where I'll be doing like 5 miles, just ride around and get the fitness, health, but at the same time have a little bit of music and fun as we ride too.
That's awesome. What motivates that for you? Like, what is the, why are you up to that? Is that like part of being a DJ, or is that something more?
Man, no lie. What motivates me, why I started it, I didn't start that until I came up with the idea in like 2011. Ended up starting 2013. But it's really my experiences growing up. My dad and my mom, they met in the Navy, in the military or whatnot. So I've lived, my sister was born in Philly. I've stayed in San Diego, Arkansas. I was born in Florida, Georgia, of course. So I've stayed in all of these places. So I was able to get a lot of experiences that a lot of kids that I noticed here had not even been out of East Texas. Mm-hmm. You know, they were, oh, I haven't been to Dallas, or I've been to Dallas, or I've been out of state. I've been to Shreveport. It's not out of state. Shreveport is not, that's Texas. Like, you know, so I'm seeing that and I'm like, man, we need it. I'm used to going skating every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We skate every night. Here, that wasn't available. So I was trying to just think of things I could do to kind of bring some of that vibe, those experiences that I was able to have to kids here. Because, I mean, to talk to somebody my age who has never been on a plane, I'm like, how do you function? Mm-hmm. Never been on a plane? Like, where have you been? Oh, well, we drove to Oklahoma. That's it.
Right.
I need the kids to have this experience. There's Stunt Wars, which is a big step show, high school, middle school step show. And I take kids to that every year. And it's put on by Rock T from the Ricky Smiley Morning Show. And, man, when the kids see that, they're like, Juice, can we do this? How can we be? Like, because mm-hmm. they see that it's more than what's, you know, right here around them. I mean, Tyler's growing. But it still has ways to go when you talk about some of the things that somebody in the city may have experienced or seen. So,
yeah, creating the opportunity to think bigger is really important for cities like a Longview or a Tyler or, you know, anything under probably 200 something thousand. Like, you gotta continually create these opportunities, these new things, because it can be easy to kind of get trapped in thinking that this is all that there is. And you know, there is the trap of like, man, there's not enough opportunity for me for what I want to do. So Juice, what do you think about that argument or you know, that perspective? Not so much an argument, but you know, for me, it's you know, I could go to a Dallas or a Austin or a Houston or a California, New York, Florida, wherever, right? I could go to a major metropolitan area and know that there's more out there. Obviously, there's more people. But I've also, I also have built a career in East Texas and understand that, you know, just because you change physical space, it doesn't necessarily change the internal space that you occupy. And it doesn't mean that you're going to have that life that you might be desiring or believe that you'll have in that larger pond, so to speak, you know? So do you think that at what point do you think it's important for, I guess we can keep it kind of with an artist, you know, when do you think it's important for an artist maybe from East Texas to start bridging out or make that jump to try and make it somewhere else? Or is it with the way that the internet allows different opportunities and people to get discovered? Is that all they need? They just need the right kind of support network around them to make those type of moves pop on a bigger stage?
Well, everybody thinks the internet, which the internet is. But you cannot beat a relationship. You cannot beat a relationship, hands down. I don't care. Internet is based on relationships. Yeah, you can go viral, but it's about you building that relationship, which we spoke on earlier about creating that meaningful content. Mm-hmm. That's a relationship. People don't look at it that way, but as an artist, you still have to go out and you still have to go to these other... Still have to go to Dallas. You still have to go to Vertical meetings, Core DJ meetings, and go be seen. Because a lot of times, the DJs, like myself, I'm at these meetings. And they say, Juice, who's the hottest in East Texas? And I say, oh, this artist. Then they say, where they at? I don't know. I told them. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're looking at me. Like, you're vouching for them, but they're not here. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where it's better if you are seen, because now they say, hey, Juice, who's the hottest? Oh, yeah, I just met him over here. Oh, mm-hmm. I just met her over here. Oh, yeah, I've seen her. I've heard of her. If your name is not in that conversation, then it's not being talked about, then it's just lost. It's just lost of space. So in order to really gain from it, it's about really building those meaningful relationships. People talk about moving and they talk about, okay, maybe I need to move to Atlanta to get my music out. Maybe I need to move to Dallas, or I need to move here. If you're lazy now, moving is not going to help you. If you are not going to do the things that you can do now to make you pop, moving is not going to help you. change of scenery is not going to help you unless the struggle from the change of scenery is your motivation. Because a lot of times that's what happens, because people aren't really ready. They say, oh, I want to go here, but are you ready for the city? Are you ready for the hustle and bustle? Are you ready to get scammed out of a couple hundred dollars? Because you're going to think that everybody's going to come to you. Everybody's going to come to you with a story. Oh, yeah, I work for so-and-so, and I can do this. And you give me $500, I can get your music over here. Give me a couple hundred dollars, I can walk it in over here.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows somebody in the industry. Hey, give me a couple thousand dollars, and I'll let you come to this so-and-so's house. Why? Because it's a hustle. And if you're not kind of like navigating in the world pre-existing to you actually jumping in, like actually navigating and seeing what's going on, you're going to get lost. And that's what I hate for artists, because once you get lost, then really that turns into like anger, bitterness, frustration, turns to all of those things. Now, you know, that's when you start seeing all those negative posts on the internet. Because mm-hmm. now people are mad at the world because nobody's supporting them. It's like, are you supporting yourself? Because yeah. a lot of people promote on Facebook. You shouldn't promote your music on Facebook. And that shouldn't be your first place. That's just friends and family. Think about how many church people you have on your Facebook. You know, how many, you know, they don't want to hear this. You know, they don't care. You know, your right. uncles, your cousins, they don't. The truth is, they probably really don't care. So you have to go out there and find your people. And sometimes that takes, you know, walking out the door and driving down, driving 2-3 hours to actually promote yourself. But as you know, it's cheaper to stay in Tyler. So why not make your money here? Then on your weekends, go there and do whatever. People talk about entertainment. Well, I'm going to leave because it's more entertainment. Well, I know one thing. In Tyler, around what, Christmas time, can you drive up and down Broadway?
No.
Have they added any more stores to the mall? No.
Right.
They took some out. But yeah. it's more and more people coming. So that means, hey, instead of you just wanting to go shop all the time, why don't you just build you a shop and get some of this money and then fly away and do whatever that you want to do? I think it's a mindset thing.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah, no, that's great. Because I've definitely, you know, I see that there's, you know, opportunities elsewhere. But two things that you said right there, or what two things that come to mind is that, like with relationships, it's like, I think about relationships wide and deep. You know, like you're gonna need to have enough relationships, mm-hmm. But a bunch of relationships that don't go very deep ain't gonna help you very much.
Right.
You could have a few deep relationships, but if they aren't the people that you need, then that's not gonna help you either. You need to have like a right mix of like the width and the depth to be able to really find somebody that can get you where you need to go.
I always say it's not good enough just to have the phone number. Are they going to answer the phone when you call?
Hmm.
That's just as simple as that. It's always, you know, anybody can get the number.
But are they right. going
to answer when you call? And that, to me, that is the basis of relationships, because some people, I mean, everybody knows you look at the phone and be like, not
today. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well said, man. I want to ask you about, so this question I ask everybody that's a guest to this podcast, it is called the Village Question, and it has to do with community. So I wanted to get your take. The Village Question goes like this. Imagine somebody comes to you, say, hey, Juice, I got a plot of land that I want to give you. And I want you to just create a community on this piece of land. It can be yours. It's Juice's, you know, DJ Juice World, whatever it is, you know. And so it's Juice's community. All we need to know, it's got like, you know, it's got a highway going north and south, highway going east and west. And we're gonna put 4 billboards that lead into the community. So when people drive by, they can say, oh, I'm gonna check this out. And they're gonna go turn and go into your community. What four values or principles or sayings or something would you put on those four billboards to bring people in close to the community that you would create?
Oh man, that's a good question. And I like it. And the reason why I like it is because I'm speaking into existence. I will have my own community. Drive in, stopping won't help you.
Say again?
Drive in, stopping won't help you.
Stopping won't help you? Okay, okay.
And basically because I'm so much of a like just backwards thinker. I'm one of those people who wants to put a sign that says, come here, but flip it upside down because it says something so simple that just sticks out. And mine is like, come here. It's like, stopping won't help you. And I just put a big stop sign. And it'd just be something just weird where people look and be like, okay, I don't know if I want to stop here, but I'm probably going to do it. And then my other one would just be happy people, happy place. Happy people, happy place. And of course, my motto, friendship is essential to the soul. And eat here. Eat here because my vision of basically I want a place that doesn't really have restaurants. Yeah. I want land, I want school, I want houses, I want community gardens, but I don't want physical restaurants in it. I want to force people to cook. I want it to be so cheap to buy food. It's like, if anything, Sarah down the street is the one cooking everything up, and then you just happen to go down to her house and buy it from her. But I don't want a restaurant that's gonna take out. I want to keep bubbles. I want people to come in and spend, but I want it to be in a way of, I want to sell clothes, stuff like that. I don't want restaurants. I don't want bars. I want bars to be on the outskirts. I want that to be like a thing where you can go. And I want those to also have like buses and charter systems and stuff like that for like to eliminate the drunk driving. I want people to still have a good time, but be able to manage it. I want kids to be able to go and experience skating rings and be able to build and create. I don't know. My vision is just so big. So it started with this building. It started with a thought of Juice for Kids and then turned into Chakras Media Vault and working on a restaurant. And yeah, man, I don't know. Eat here because we're going to have food. It's all going to be
man.
Soul.
That's
full,
great.
But just for the soul.
Thanks for answering that question. I like throwing it on. I never tell people that I'm going to ask it either. It's on every episode, but you know, I don't like asking or I don't like prepping people for it either because I think it gets the right, like just off the cuff gets the real about it. And what's unique about, I mean, that is super unique kind of vision that you have in thinking about no restaurants because like, you know, as much as it's a gathering place, it's also like a commercialization of what gathering means. And so like it can take away from what truly like we miss a lot of what cooking and dining together and having dinner and preparing a meal and sharing it means because of the convenience that restaurants and establishments give us. Like in other cultures, food is so like critical to like the culture itself. And yeah, so like,
it's really a gathering. You know?
Yeah.
It's really a gathering. People, I can't remember the last time I sat and had a meal with my family, not like a Thanksgiving. I'm talking about just sit down and how was your day? And, you know, that, I think, you know, you can't get that at a restaurant. Why are we sitting at McDonald's and ask you about your day? You just eat fries and want to go play. You know, You go out to eat to another restaurant and you just, it's not the same as being in the house. It's not the same as far as, I think, relationship-wise to the camaraderie between mates. If one's cooking or if they're cooking together or, you know, just so many different symbols and flashes of love that come from food that we, and I think in our culture now, especially in the American culture, we're so greedy. There's no real value on food because we want the triple steak cheeseburger from from wherever, you know. There's no value in that. There's no feeling in that food.
Yeah. And it may, you know what, you kind of sparked a memory and like me thinking about like growing up and stuff. And like my mom would cook, of course. My dad was the grill manager, you know what I mean? So like my mom did everything in the kitchen. My dad did everything outside. And you know, sometimes they worked together, sometimes they didn't. But it also made me think of like, I remember our family has a lake house on Lake Tewakanee, and we worked from like, I don't know, 7:30 to 8:30, like 7:30 in the morning, 8:30 at night, you know, like just cleaning it up, doing all that kind of stuff. Long, long day, you know? And I was just in high school or middle school, and we didn't end up cooking. We actually did like go takeout or whatever. We got a burger. So it doesn't make your point as much, but at the same time, I remember like that burger was so good. It was like the best. It was absolutely everything that we all needed. And like, that was the memory. Not that I don't even know what restaurant we got it, but the memory was, man, after a whole long day, we finally got to eat together. You know what I mean? And so like it's about everything that happens around the food, not necessarily, you know, the food itself. It's like, what's happening? What's the spirit? What is the attitude and heart that you're trying to have?
I'll share this with you. My grandfather, probably most influential man in my life. When you think of hustler, I said he was the only hustler I knew. I didn't know drug dealers. I knew him. So this guy, basically, when I would come visit Texas or whatnot, and for the summers, go out, he'd wake me up 5:30 in the morning. Me, I'm from the city. I'm getting up. I'm ironing my clothes. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, we're going to the country. So the country was his farm. Go out there. It's watermelon, it's peas, it's all this stuff. Loading the watermelons up, picking peas, all this stuff. Put them on the back of the truck. I'm like, grandfather, I'm hungry. He takes his knife out and he slits the watermelon and he takes it on the back of the truck and boom, busts it in half. Then gives me the knife and say, yeah, just cut your cubes out and just eat it with the knife. So I'm like, the best watermelon ever. And I mean, it was just thirst quenching. It was just everything that you needed, right? But so we would load up probably 50, 60 watermelons, drive into Tyler, go back when King Chevrolet, all these different car dealerships. And he would just, as soon as he pull up, oh, there goes Mr. JT. People coming outside, hey, let me get two, let me get three of them. And I'm like, this is crazy. This is all profit. Do you know how much it costs to plant a watermelon? Right. This is all profit. And this is what we did every morning. We would get in the truck in the morning, go do some work out there, pick some veggies, whatever, and take it into town. And it was like, and that's when I was like, man, my grandfather, this is a hustler. And this is who I... So my drive and my dedication all came from that, because I seen it at an early age, something that wasn't anything that I was really interested in doing for my personal life. But now I find myself gardening. I got rosemary on my balcony. I got thyme. I got basil. Now I'm doing the same thing, but I'm doing it for myself personally, which I feel like everyone should. But man, that I say he's the most influential. I say the food, the story how you gave about that burger is the same way I felt about that watermelon when it used to be like 6-7 in the morning and I'm busting that watermelon open on the side of the truck. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. Food, it's crazy how you can eat something and it could take you so many different places. Back to childhood memories, the whole nine.
Yeah. Well, and also I can relate to that too, because like, you know, I credit my work ethic from my dad. My dad to this day works, you know, 40, 50 hours a week. I mean, and then he has a lawn business on the side. He's cutting trees down. He, you know, when these storms came through, people call him right after he gets off work and they're like, hey, I got this tree down, and he's going, you know what I mean? And it's sure, there's like a financial motivation, you know, with your grandfather with the watermelon or whatever. But at the same time, it's probably not just that. It's, I'm going to deliver watermelons to this car dealership because it's hot outside and like people need that. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, he also probably, and like, I know for my dad, like, my dad gets joy out of the fact that he can help Miss Carolyn, you know, off, you know, County Road so and so with her, you know, problem. Like, he's the guy that's going to do that. And so like that has always inspired me and why I have the fuel to do what I do. Like, I don't, you know, I'm not going to cut down a tree. I don't know how to do that, but I'll put you on a podcast, you know what I mean? And help you share your story or whatever. So like, I think that, and just, you know, just like you said, like that, those are the things that people will remember and what creates legacy and what really makes a true community member is somebody who's given that contribution and given that service. And we all can do it in different ways. And you definitely do it in your ways through DJing, through everything. So I appreciate you sharing that story. And we're about at an hour, so I feel like that's a great way to kind of just button this up. So anything else you want to share about Chakras Media Vault or anything else that you got coming up here soon?
Man, Chakras Media Vault is now accepting artists who would like to record, take pictures, host, have a birthday party, poetry night, painting sips, whatever. We do it all at Chakras Media Vault. If you just want to create, it's a place where creators create. So if you need a consultation, you know, all of that is available right here. I mean, I'm just, you know, we're just open house and here to help people get what they, basically help people push their visions. So a lot of times we get misinformation when it comes to creating a logo. Some people think those cartoon logos and stuff like that are the way to go. And we're like, no, that's not it. And I'm like, hey, look, let me give you a real logo. So people come in with one way of thinking and they typically leave out with a more professional product. And that's what my job is, and that's what I take, you know. I just love it. I love being able to help others and make sure their products are not good or really better than mine, because I don't use my product that I have as a measuring rod of anybody else's thing, because I know that everybody has their own space, their own potentials. And I want to see, because I'm not going to do a bunch of TikTok dances. But I do help out a person who does. That's all they do. So I'm not going to be over here trying to compete with them. No, I'm trying to push that. But you're not going to see me on TikTok dancing, because if you do, they made me do it. Like, I didn't do it on my own.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No, man. Awesome. It's just Chakras, man. It's a exciting place. I'm excited about what it brings to the area. And, you know, if I can help you or anybody else.
Yeah, man. I definitely know that we can talk about some stuff. You know, I got a beat machine right over here. I might just dust off and bring over there. Like, you know, we'll figure something out. And then maybe we could do a poetry night or something. That would be fun. Yeah, so definitely. So all right, man. Well, thanks. I'll let you get back to your evening. We'll get this up. Definitely follow DJ Juice if you haven't already. If you haven't and you're in East Texas, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know. It might be my mom. I don't know. Shout out to the mom out there. But appreciate you, man. We'll take care. And we'll see you in the next episode.
fall.